Grace and peace to you from God our Father, and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Dear fellow brothers and sisters in Christ, let's do a little bit of philosophy this morning. Here's the question I want you to ponder. What makes a gift truly a gift? What makes a gift is not the quality of the gift. A brand new car and a $10 gift card to Walmart or Quick Trip are both gifts. What makes a gift is not the person giving that gift. For a young child or an elderly person can both give gifts. What makes a gift is not how much thought is put into it. Whether it's a gift bought on an impulse or a gift after much research, they are both gifts. So what makes a gift truly a gift? Plain and simple, a gift is something that is freely given. If a gift is given with strings attached to it or demands behind it, then it's not really a gift anymore, is it? It's something that you earn and you work for. A gift is freely given. Today we focus on the gift that we have freely been given from God, and that's His grace. Today, in these words from Matthew's Gospel, Jesus gives His grace freely to many different types of people. And so Jesus wants us to follow His example, for He told us, "Freely you have received, freely give." Therefore, let us freely give the gift of grace that we have been freely given. And let's just think about that gift of grace that God has given to the whole world. As John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son." God the Father gave His Son to us, no strings attached, no demands behind it, and not because we have earned or deserved it. He freely gave His Son to us. And think about the grace that Jesus has freely given to us. Imagine if God called you to be a pastor and He gave you two different congregations to serve at that you could choose. Congregation A, it's perfect. Attendance is always full. Everyone gets along. No one even commits sin, and therefore they have no problems in their lives. And Congregation B is the complete opposite. They aren't perfect. Attendance is very low. It's hard to get people to come to church, and they sin, and therefore they have all of their problems and sufferings. And now, which congregation would you choose? The one that's perfect or the one that's not? I think we would all choose the perfect congregation. But Jesus chose the other. He came into our sinful world. He became one with us and shared in our sufferings and our troubles and burdens. He reached out to horrible, miserable sinners. He associated with them. He ate with them, and He preached God's gospel to them. And that's what Matthew highlights here. Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness. So far, Matthew's gospel has focused on two things about Jesus: His preaching and His healing. For three chapters, Matthew focuses on Jesus' great Sermon from the Mount, where Jesus preached a lot of things to us, such as we are the salt of the earth. He taught us how to pray. He told us not to worry and how blessed we are to follow Him. And now for the past two chapters, Matthew has focused on Jesus' healing. Jesus healed a man with leprosy. He healed a paralyzed man. He healed two men who were demon-possessed. He cured a man of his blindness. He made a man be able to speak. And he even raised a young daughter from death. Therefore, since Jesus preached with such great authority that the people have never heard before, and since Jesus was able to do all these miraculous healings, the people began to flock to Jesus. And when Jesus saw all these people coming to him, he had this reaction. He had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. When Jesus saw these people coming to him, he viewed them as lost sheep who didn't have a shepherd. And these people were harassed. They were helpless. And the Greek is a little bit more vivid here. And when it says harassed, it means that they are beaten and wounded badly. And therefore, they are abandoned. As if someone injured a young lamb and left it by the side of the road to die. That's how harassed and helpless these people were. But in what sense were they harassed and helpless? Not in a physical sense, but in a spiritual sense. The Pharisees and the teachers of the law were not doing their job. They were not taking care of the souls of these people. And imagine if you were one of these harassed and helpless people, that you go to the Pharisee and the teachers of the law and you ask them, "How do I get to heaven? How do I make the guilt of what I have done go away? Why does God give me these sufferings? And where is he when I have these troubles?" And instead of giving them the gift of God's grace and comforting them with the gospel, the Pharisees and the teachers of the law hammered them down with the law. They told them, "You must obey these commands and then you'll go to heaven. The guilt of what you have done will go away, and God will bless you in your life." That's not what these people needed to hear. They needed to hear God's grace and the gospel. But they were also left helpless. Sometimes the Pharisees and the teachers of the law wanted nothing to do with the people. You know, when Jesus would associate with these tax collectors and sinners, the Pharisees are appalled by this and saying, "Jesus, why are you hanging out with those lowlifes?" And sometimes they were only focused on themselves, bragging about how great they were and thanking God that they weren't like other people. That's why Jesus had such great compassion on these people. They were harassed, they were helpless, and he freely gave them his grace, and he wants us to do the same. But do we? Or do we leave people spiritually harassed and helpless? When people come to us and they need the comfort of God's grace and the message of the gospel, and we just hammer them down with the law, that we just point out all their sins and tell them how horrible they are. And yes, the law has its place, but not when someone needs to hear the gospel. Or the times we can leave people spiritually helpless, and they just need us to be there, and we're not, and we turn the cold shoulder to them. Or the times when people need us to be focused on them and to pray on their behalf, and instead, we're just focused on ourselves. And just like the Pharisee, we can pray to God, "Lord, I thank you that I'm not like other people. I thank you that I don't sin in the way they do. I thank you that I don't have those same sufferings that they go through." Understand how devastating that is. It's leaving people spiritually harassed and helpless. And let me ask you, does God do that to you? No. Even though God should leave us spiritually harassed and helpless, he freely gives us his grace. He has freely given you the grace of his Son, comforting you with the gospel that Jesus is your Savior. and that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. He has removed the guilt of all that you have done. And Jesus continues to give you his grace each and every day, comforting you that he loves you, that he takes care of you, that he will never turn away from you, because God is not focused on himself. He is focused on you. That's the free grace that you have been given. And therefore, Jesus tells us to freely give the grace that we have been freely given. That's what Jesus wanted his own disciples to do. For he said to them, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field." Now, Scripture does not specifically tell us if the disciples offered up this prayer to God right away, but we assume that they did. But the disciples were probably not expecting how Jesus was going to answer that prayer, because Jesus turned to them. He chose 12 of them and sent them out to work in God's harvest field. But who were these 12 disciples to go out and work in God's harvest field? They were not prominent people. They were not the wisest scholars among others. Four of them were simple fishermen, blue-collared workers. And they certainly didn't come from a significant place. Galilee was not as significant as, say, Jerusalem in Judea. Therefore, why would Jesus choose these 12 disciples to go out and work in God's harvest field? It's because they had received God's gift of grace, and therefore he wanted his disciples to freely give that gift of grace that they had been given freely. Is it any different with us? Who are we to go out into God's harvest field? We're not the most prominent people. We may not be the wisest scholars among others. Some of us are just simple blue-collared workers. And we don't really come from the most significant place, do we? No offense to this area of Viroqua, but it's not the most significant when it comes to the world, to our country, not even in our own state. So who are we to go out into God's harvest field? Well, what God said to the Israelites in the Old Testament lesson, I will repeat to you. Although the whole earth is mine, you will be for me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. God certainly could have chosen a more prominent nation and a more significant place than the Israelites, but he chose them by grace. And God certainly could choose more prominent people from a significant place than we, but he chooses us. He makes us to be his priests, to work in his harvest field, to freely give the grace that we have been freely given. But where exactly does God want us to go in his harvest field? Certainly, God wants his word preached throughout the whole world and to every nation. And right now, that is happening. But we don't have to go way out there in the world to work in God's harvest field. Notice very carefully where Jesus sent his 12 disciples. Do not go among the Gentiles or enter any town of the Samaritans. Go rather to the lost sheep of Israel. Now, doesn't it seem strange and odd that Jesus would tell his disciples, don't go to the Samaritans, don't go to the Gentiles? Why would Jesus tell his disciples not to go to those people? Well, rest assured, later on, Jesus would send his 12 disciples to all people. But for right now, Jesus is concerned about the people of Israel And here's why. God chose the Israelites to be his own. And he promised to the Israelites that a Savior would come from their own line. Therefore, as Scripture says, salvation is first for the Jews and then for the Gentiles. That's why Jesus first sent his disciples to the people of Israel. But did you also notice how Jesus described them? He called them the lost sheep of Israel. Sometimes we may think that all the people that lived in Israel in Jesus' day, except for the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, they were all believers. Scripture never says that. That's just not true. Jesus says they are lost. There were people in Jesus' day in the land of Israel that didn't know anything about their Savior. And therefore, Jesus sent his disciples to them to freely give the gift of God's grace that they had been given freely. The same applies to us. Sometimes we may think that since we live in Wisconsin, out here in the Midwest, that basically everyone we meet are believers in Jesus. Is that true? Well, according to one statistical report, they went out through all 50 states of America and they asked them how religious they were. They were to answer the questions, how often do you go to church? How regularly do you pray? How certain are you about God? And is religion important in your life? And guess where Wisconsin ranked on that one report? Number 44. We're not in the top 10. We're not even in the top half. We're at the bottom of the list, according to this report. And what does that tell us? It tells us that there are lost people right here. Therefore, let us not assume that everyone is a believer, but let us go out to reach the lost because they are right here in our community, right here in our places of work, right here in our circle of friends, and even right here in our families. Therefore, let us freely give the gift of grace to all the people that we meet, since we have been freely given that grace. Freely give that grace because God's grace is a gift. God gave his grace to the whole world, to those who are harassed and helpless, to those who are or are not prominent, and to those who are lost. And he's given that grace to you as well. Therefore, God asks us to pray to him to send out workers into his harvest field, and he sends us out as well. Therefore, let us answer the call that God has given us by freely giving the grace that we have been freely given to those who are harassed, helpless, and lost, so that they are no longer sheep without a shepherd, but sheep who have Jesus as their shepherd. Amen. Please rise. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard and keep your hearts and your minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.